you have your Bible this morning, I trust and pray that you do. If you not have one, there should be in the pew in front of you. And I would beg you to pick it up. I would beg you to take a moment and go ahead and open up your bulletin to the center page of the bulletin. I did put one Bible passage there that will help you as we go forward. I would love for you to start this morning in Genesis chapter number 14. Genesis chapter 14. And also at the same time, find, if you would please, Hebrews chapter number 7. Genesis chapter 14. Hebrews chapter number 7. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Hebrews is toward the back of your Bible. We're going to be turning in the Word of God quite a bit, so you may want to break out your phone. I've never said that before. I can't believe I just said that, but you might want to break out your phone because it might be quicker to push some buttons. I want you to be able to follow along. I'm preaching a message today that I know 100% that God gave me, and I believe I have His permission and direction to preach this message, and I want you to be able to see that what I'm preaching to you comes from the Word of God. I am preaching to you today on a subject that doesn't get much preaching within churches, but it's a subject that needs to be preached in our churches. And I want to preach to you today on the subject of tithing. Tithing. It's been over 2 years since I have preached a message on this subject. If you're visiting with us today, please don't think that all these churches ever want is money. We're not preaching for that today. If you would give us a chance to show you that, you could come back to another service. But I am commanded by God, by the Word of God, to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And Plantation Baptist Church loves the Word of God. Amen. And I think that sets us apart and makes us unique. I get a lot of testimonies as people visit our church. And one of the things that they say as soon as they walk through the front doors is that they feel the love of God through God's people, through the greeting. They enjoy the sweet spirit in the service. They enjoy the friendliness of God's people. But then they'll usually say something like, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different about this place. And I usually will say something, you mean because they have a handsome pastor? And they'll say, no, that's not it at all. And I would have to agree with that. Hurts my feelings, but I agree with it. And I think that one of the things that people sense when they come to our church is they sense the authority of God. And I think they sense the authority of God in this place because we stand on the Word of God. And, you know, I just believe that if I'm going to follow somebody, I want to know they know where they're going. There's nothing worse than following somebody who has no idea where they're going. That's why God created Siri. So all of the wives now would be able to have some confidence in following their man. And so it's amazing. We won't stop for directions, but we'll ask Siri. That's because we didn't get out of the car, ladies. We still feel like a man inside that car. But I do believe if you're going to follow somebody, you need to know that they know where they are going. No room for wishy-washy leaders. And I would say this, there's no room in our world today for wishy-washy churches. Our world doesn't need wishy-washing churches. They need churches filled with people led by preachers that stand upon the authority of the Word of God. Because people need to know where to go. How do they know Jesus is the way, the truth, and their life? How do they know they can trust Him? And how do they know they can find Him faithful? Because the Word of God must be preached. The devil hates the Word of God anymore in our world. The world is growing to hate the Word of God. But praise the Lord, the Word of God is eternal, and it should be loved by God's people. And so I don't make any apologies or any hesitations today about preaching on the subject of tithing. And truth be told, I'm glad to preach upon it. Why? Because I'm your pastor. And I love you. And I'm a little bit aggravated about people taking advantage of you. I don't want anybody to take advantage of you. And I feel like it's my job when to watch over you and to protect you and to care for you. I love you. I pray for you. I study. I come ready to preach the Word of God. And I don't want anybody to abuse you, or I don't want anybody to be deceitful to you. And I really do believe that God's people are being shortchanged because nobody's preaching to them the truth of tithing. And I want to submit to you this. Yes, tithing is the Lord's, and I'll show it to you, but tithing is God's way that God blesses you. You. And I'm preaching this not so the church can get more money, not so I can make you feel bad, or not so in any other reason other than I want you to know the same joy and blessing that I know in my life as a tither. Now, I'm the pastor of this church, but I'm also a member of this church. And as your pastor, you can understand that I tithe every week. I get paid weekly, and I tithe weekly. I do not dishonor the Lord. I practice what I preach. Not only do I tithe, I give the faith promise. I support children down in Haiti. I give love offerings. Your pastor wants to be a person who you can look at and know that he's practicing what he preaches. All right. Now, whether you believe that or know that, I don't know, but I want you to know that. And so I personally believe that finances are a major part of our lives. And in the area of finance is one of the great ways that God shows himself real in your life. I have seen God do wonderful miracles in my life, and I believe those miracles are tied to the fact that I am a tither. And so I want you to know that blessing as well. And I know that we have all kinds of reasons why or why we do not tithe. And so I want to touch on some of those today. But I have two goals in mind today. And these are my 2 points. I'd like you to write them down. And when you write them down, that does not mean you can leave, because there's some underpoints under there, okay? Number one, I want you to take away from today's message that the tithe is the Lord's. Write that down. The tithe, you can write on the back of your bulletin, is the Lord's. The second thing I want you to take away from here today is this. The blessing is yours. The tithe is the Lord's, but the blessing of tithing is yours. It's not mine as the pastor. Well, the pastor just gets more money. That's not true. I get a salary. I get the same thing whether I preach good or bad. They didn't give me a bonus program here. Okay? It's not so the church can get more money. The tithe is so that you as an individual child of God can be blessed of God. And if you know that to be true, would you say amen? Amen. All right. So my goal today is to dismiss some myths and some lies. I think that you're being told some things that are not true. So I want you to be able to see them from the Word of God. Nothing is greater to a pastor than when God confirms what he wants you to preach. And so I was in my car this week. I was driving. I was listening to Moody Radio. I normally love the preaching on Moody Radio, and I'm not a huge fan of all that they have, but I'm usually blessed by listening. A question came to one of their Bible teachers, a man that I respect, a man that normally gives a good Bible understanding. But when it came to the area of tithing, I do not believe he gave to us the truth of God's word. And so as that announcement was coming forward, God was using that in my heart to say, to encourage me to preach to our church the truth of the word of God. And so I want to share some things with you, show you where tithing is mentioned in the Bible, how it is mentioned in the Bible. Then I want to show how it can bless you. Now, I can't finish this whole message this morning. You're going to have to come back tonight and get the second part of the message and the end part of the message that will bless you even more. I want you to look at Genesis chapter number 14. This is the first place in the Bible that that tithing is mentioned. And it's important that you know this. In Genesis chapter 14, verse number 17, we'll pick up with the reading. The Bible says, "And the king of Sodom You know, Sodom and Gomorrah went out to meet him. That him is Abram or Abraham. Went out to meet him after his return from the slaughters of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek. Now I want you to say that name out loud. 1, 2, 3. Melchizedek. That's an important name. Underline that. Maybe you've never heard of this man in the Bible before. You don't know anything about him, but you're going to learn about him today. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. Anybody know what the word Salem means? Peace. The king of peace, it's also of the city of Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine, tremendously symbolic. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Now the last part of that verse reads this. And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, what class? Tithes of all. Tithes of all. The very first place tithing is mentioned, Genesis 14, Abraham pays tithes to Melchizedek. Now, Abraham is known as the father of the Jewish nation. But I submit to you, in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham is not a Jew. Abraham was not born a Jew. Abraham is born a Gentile. He came out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. And not until that Abrahamic covenant, not until the birth of Isaac and into Jacob, is Abraham transitioned into the Jewish, as the father of the Jewish people. But in Genesis chapter 14, he is a Gentile paying tithes to a man named, say his name, Melchizedek. Now, go to the very last place in the Bible where tithing is mentioned. Put something here in Genesis 14. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. If you come to Plantation Baptist Church, you're going to have to look at your Bible and be blessed by that. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, verse number 8 being the last place, or verse number 9 being the last place tithe being mentioned, we're going to read this passage of Scripture that's going to sound very familiar. Because all the way here in the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews is recounting what happened with Abraham. Pick up in verse number 1. For this, say his name, Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. This is all familiar. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth. That's an important word. You should highlight it, underline it. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth. That's the same word, tithe. Part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem. So now we got another name for Melchizedek. Not only is he king of peace, but he's also called the king of what in verse number 2? Righteousness. And after, in which is the king of peace, verse number 3. Without father, without mother. How can somebody be without father and without mother? They must be eternal. Without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the, say those words, Son of God. Okay? Abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, now help me with this part, the less is blessed of the what? Better. Now you understand less and better. Less is less, better is better. Verse 8. And here, Men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he does what? That he liveth. Okay, Pastor, help put some puzzle together for me. Great, glad you asked. The first mention of tithing, Genesis chapter 14. Abraham pays tithes to Melchizedek. The last mention of tithing, the writer of Hebrews, who the whole purpose of the book of Hebrews was to announce to the Jew that there is a better covenant in Christ. Where the law was inept and incapable because of the flesh of men, there is a better way. Where the Levitical priesthood once set the standard, there's a better high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the whole book of Hebrews is making this announcement that the new covenant is better than the old covenant. We no longer need the old covenant because it was a shadow of Christ coming. And now all of our hope and trust can be in the person of Jesus. And if you believe that, say amen. Okay, so that's the whole purpose of Hebrews. So as he's writing Hebrews chapter number 7, he's explaining to these Jews who went back to Abraham as the epitome of their belief. As a top exaltation of their belief. Remember when Jesus preached to them on the earth, they said, we don't need you, we be of the seed of Abraham. And the Hebrew writer is saying that even Abraham found himself to be the lesser over the greater, or under the greater Melchizedek. Now, 6 times in the Bible, Jesus is said to be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In the description of Melchizedek that we have read, you find that Melchizedek is a type of Christ. I believe he is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. And so when Abraham met Melchizedek, who had neither father nor mother, who had no origin or end, who was a high priest continually, who brought bread and wine, which would symbolize the body broken and the blood of Jesus. All of the symbols of Melchizedek are types of Christ. And so you can understand that he is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. So when Abraham offered tithes to Melchizedek, he was offering those tithes to really and truthfully the Lord Jesus. Okay? And all the way over here, the book of thousands of years later, the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus is greater than Abraham. By the way, Jesus is greater than everybody. Okay? So why would you tell us this, Pastor? Ooh, I'm so glad you asked. Matter of fact, I have on my notes, hope they asked that question. Okay? So here's why. Because you're being told that tithing is no longer our responsibility in the day in which we live. You're being told that we live in something called the age of grace, or the dispensation of the church. And I am a dispensationalist. This Bible is a dispensation. Yes, we live in the age of grace. Okay? However, what the word on the street is, and the word that is filling our churches now, is that tithing is no longer something that the church ought to give itself to. That tithing was only for the Jew under the law. Now, again, if you've been here before, you know that I did not take Greek in college, but I learned a Greek word, baloney. Genesis 14 is 500 years before God gave the law to Moses. 500 years before God gave the law to Moses, Abraham tithed. So tithing did not originate in the law. Tithing is not limited to the law, because way after the fulfilling of the law, which Jesus did, the writer of Hebrews says, here men receive tithes, but there he receiveth them that it is witnessed that he liveth. So there's this theology out there that's telling the church, you don't have to tithe anymore. I say, let's do away with man's opinion and let's stand on the word of God. Okay. Now, Pastor, we learn some things in these two passages. And here's where everybody is confused about this. We learn from Genesis chapter 14 that tithing is not bucket plunking. Tithing is not just you throwing money in the offering plate. Tithing, done properly, is an act of worship. So now your pastor has some questions for you. Do you love the Lord? If so, say amen. Amen. Did you come here to worship? Amen. Did you bring the tithe? Amen. Because you cannot worship God and not bring the tithe. Tithing is an act of worship. Now, people don't tithe for numerous reasons. We're going to touch on some of those reasons. Some of those reasons are honest. Some of those reasons are dishonest. But just because you put money in an offering plate doesn't mean you tithe. Tithing has parameters. Matter of fact, in Hebrews, there was a measurement there that tithing is the tenth. Tithing means, the word tithe means tenth. It's 10%. So from the first mention of tithing to the last mention of tithing, we learn two things about tithing. Number one, it's a worship toward God. So if you say you love God, you should be tithing. Okay. I also learned that tithing is not just left up to my opinion. It's a measurement. So let me also correct some false teaching. Here's what people want to say. They want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and they want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and they want to talk about grace giving, which I understand grace giving. And they want to say, well, now that we're in the church age, and because tithing is not relevant to us, which is baloney, then you just purpose in your own heart and your own mind, and you do whatever you want to do, and God will be pleased with that. No, he won't. Tithing is the tenth. That means if you make $100, $10 of that is the tithe. And so we kind of think they're teaching us now, and they're preaching, and I hear them preaching all over the place, even on the radio. We want God's people to be generous. Okay, listen to me. Look me in my four eyeballs. I want you to be generous. But before you can be generous, God's people need to be obedient. Okay. Who's got money? I won't do that. I don't have money. You got money in there? You got a couple of dollars? No. Oh yeah, you got perfect. You got 10 and 15. Now this money belongs to Malcolm, right? So let's just say that Malcolm gave me this money. It's real easy to be generous with somebody else's money. I'll make it up to you. Anybody can be generous with somebody else's money. So we've got preachers standing in pulpits preaching to people, we want you to be generous. You don't have a right to be generous with somebody else's money. If you want to be generous, you be generous with your own money. So tithing is an act of worship. It's also a tenth. You're being told wrong. Go to Leviticus chapter 27. Let me preach you another point. Look, if you would, at verse number 30. I beg you to read the Bible. I beg you to read the Bible. Leviticus chapter 20. Oh, I know why you're turning your page. You don't know where Leviticus is. Okay. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Punch in your thing there. It'll help you. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. chapter 27, verse number 30. Let's read it together. Are you there? Okay. 1, 2, 3. We'll read it out loud together so there's no mistaking. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So the tithe is whose? The Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord, which means it is separated unto Him, sanctified unto Him, dedicated unto Him. So that means if you make $1,000, $100 of that does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Okay? And it's to, and I need God's people to understand that, because I think once you understand that that belongs to the Lord, it will help you to understand your own heart and your own mind. And so it's not mine to touch. It doesn't belong to me. It's not mine to spend. It's not mine to be generous with. It's not mine to do whatever. That money belongs to the Lord. Do you have, can you find 1 Chronicles chapter 29? 1 Chronicles 29. Pastor, you're exercising my abilities here. I understand. There's a truth in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David is in the middle of a church service, and they're giving money and they're celebrating that. But David reminds them of an important point in verse number 14. David says, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." So what's David saying? David is saying, listen, we're here and they're bringing in money and they're getting ready to build a building and everybody's having this wonderful celebration. And David just steps back and it thought realizes him, you know, we're all excited here and we're rejoicing, but really and truthfully, we're only bringing God what already belongs to Him, because everything we have in our life is because God gave it to us. God owns every dime you have. He owns every dime I have. He owns everything. And so as God increases you and God blesses you and God enlarges you and money comes your direction, yes, in effect, we call it our money. Yes, in effect, we steward it. But in reality, every dime and every bank account I have belongs to God. That would be one bank account, by the way. Okay, it belongs to God. But that 10% is the Lord's. And the Lord says, don't mess with it. Don't touch it. It's mine. So I just want to ask you a question. Do you understand that? Pastor, does God really care? Malachi chapter 3. Go to Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Verse number 8, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. I think the verse will show you if God cares or not. The Bible says in Malachi 3:8, will a man, what are those two words? Rob God. Yet ye have robbed me. You say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes? And offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So God says this, I do care. And He says, that tithe that I've increased you, the only reason you got is because I gave to you everything you have, and that 10% belongs to me. And I don't want you to steal it. I don't want you to be a thief. I want you to bring that to me. And so God looks at not tithing as as robbing him. Now, most of God's people would never rob God. We would never want to do that. And I understand. I understand that we get afraid. I understand that we have a little bit of money or a lot of money. I understand we have needs. I understand that their money is powerful. I understand all these things. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And God says 10% is mine. It's not tied to the Jew under the law. It belongs to me. And I'm without beginning, without end. I'm eternal. So as long as Jesus is the Lord, he is due his tithe. Pastor, I don't tithe, and I love the Lord. Okay. Either you don't tithe because you just absolutely flat refuse to do it, or you haven't been taught, or you don't know. You say, Pastor, I tithe the Lord. I'm tithing, and my life seems to be going okay. I'm not tithing. My life seems to be going okay. Listen, that if you're a Christian, that doesn't even make biblical sense. You need to examine your life. How can I worship and rob at the same time? The only place that is even possible is between our ears. Ears. And so we can rationalize what we're doing, but I want you to know something. It's not hurting God, it's hurting you. You're hurting yourself. The tithe belongs to the Lord. And he wants it. He expects it. It's an act of worship. It shows that I love him. And he's being faithful to enlarge me. And he does care if I don't bring it. He sees that as me stealing it. But I also told you, point number two, not only is the tithe the Lord's, but the blessing is yours. Now, I want you to go to Malachi chapter 3 again. Go back there and let me give you a little bit of this, and then I'll save some of it for tonight. But I want to show you the promise of tithing. And this is why I'm preaching it to you, because I want you to be blessed. Look, if you would, at verse number 10 in Malachi chapter 3. The Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." And what's that next word? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a what, class? A blessing. So you need to understand some things about tithing. Look at the very first word, bring. It doesn't say give, it says bring. You cannot give something that does not belong to you. Can't do it. You can't. You bring me my shovel I loaned you. You bring back that, but you cannot give something that does not belong to you. He says this in chapter 3, verse number 8. Bring ye, what's the next word? All the tithes. All the tithes. So what's all the tithe? If we're talking percentage, what's the percentage? 10. Okay, so here's where we're being preached wrong. Well, Pastor, I put $20 in the offering plate and I feel good. That's good if you made 200. But if you made 2,000, you shouldn't feel good about that. You didn't bring all the tithe. Well, Pastor, no. See, I give the church like 3%. I give the radio a chunk. I kind of spread it all around. No. That, once again, you can't be generous with somebody else's money. We don't have a right to do that. We do not have a right to mess with God's 10%. So we bring the 10%. Well, Pastor, I don't make very much money. I'm on fixed income. I'm on Social Security. I get a check. I only get paid here or there. It's just a little. Any increase is because of God. So any increase... So that doesn't mean if you lose money. I mean, if you buy a house for 100 grand and you sell it for 70 grand, you don't owe any tithe. You sell it for 130, you owe 3 grand tithe. That's right. It's your birthday. Somebody gives you 500 bucks. Pastor, my birthday, they give me 50 bucks. Okay, 50 bucks. $5 of that belongs to the Lord. Whatever I'm increased, it's because of God, and 10% of that belongs to the Lord. And that 10% is to bring it all. And some people want to divvy everything up. So you say, Pastor, I just make a little bit. Fine, bring that little bit. Or the other end is, Pastor, I make so much money that that's too much money to give to one place. I'm not going to give my tithe to one place. Correction, it's not your tithe. We got to get that through our brain. You do not give your tithe. We bring God's tithe. Okay. So you make $1 million, then $100,000 is your tithe, is the Lord's tithe. Pastor, that's a lot of money to give. It's not yours. I mean, the Lord gave you $1 million. 10% is His. It's not mine. And God takes the little, and God takes the multitude, and God uses that to further His work. Bring ye all, now watch where you're supposed to bring it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. In the Old Testament, the storehouse was the temple. I can prove to you from 1 Corinthians that the storehouse is the church. You're to bring the Lord's tithe to the church. It doesn't come to the pastor, it comes to the church. Well, Pastor, I divvy mine up. That's not the admonition there. Shouldn't do that. That there may be meat in mine house. Why do I bring it to the church? Because God's direction was that He uses His tithe to further His work. So His tithe pays the light bill. His tithe takes care of the ministry. His tithe goes on to further out the gospel, that we're all part about that. Now those are some directions for that. And then God says, now listen, prove me and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So God knew that we would struggle with money. God knew that we had the ability to love money. God knew that we would be in that position. And so God kind of knew that He had to kind of prop us up. And so the Lord says, I know you're afraid, but just trust me. Prove me. Prove me. You bring my tithe, and you see if I don't take care of you. And by the way, if you've had that experience, say amen. Amen. Listen, church, I'm going to stop here. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Tithing is one way that you put yourself in a place of blessing. You're hurting yourself not doing this. I don't care if you make $1,000 a week or you make $10,000 a week, whether it's $100 or whether it's $1,000. I know in our rational brain we think, man, I could really use that money, or I could make this end meet. Please hear your pastor. The greatest end meter there is Jesus Christ. He's the great end meter. And so we try to kind of manipulate what we're doing here, and we try to bridge gaps, but don't bridge gaps with the Lord's money. Trust the Lord. Bring it to Him. Lord, here is your tithe. Now, God, I've got all these bills. I've got all these problems. I don't know how we're going to get here, but I'm tithing. Now, Lord, if I go down, you're going down with me. If we don't make it, I'm telling everybody I tithed and you didn't help me. And God says, okay, no problem. Prove me. Show me. Let me show you I'm God. That's the problem with God's people. We're so afraid we don't give God an opportunity to prove that He's God. And He is a big God. He's huge. He's wealthy. That doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy. But that means that He can care for you. I don't know why you're afraid. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what you're doing. But I don't want to see you get hurt. Honor the Lord with His tithe, and He will bless you. So here's what I would like to extend to you. I'm going to preach tonight on a couple of reasons, specific blessings that God gives the tither. Do not miss tonight. Specific blessings. I'm going to ask you to pray about taking a tithing challenge. Tithing challenge. Where did this come from? Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. Prove me now herewith. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Don't answer out loud. Just think in your mind. Do you tithe? Do you bring 10% of your increase and get and bring the Lord his tithe. Did you do that today? You cannot stand there and say, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and keep his money. Amen? Can't do it. And you cannot say, well, tithing is not for the church today. Yes, it is. It's tied to the person of Christ, and he's the Lord of the church. So I'd ask you to take the tithing challenge. There's 4 Sundays in the month of March, the last one being Easter. I'd ask you to consider doing it. Consider bringing the Lord his tithe. And then at the end of the month, I just want you to judge your life and see if God's been faithful to you. So here's what will happen. You're going to bring your tithe on week number 1 next Sunday, and you're going to be excited. And on Monday, your whole world's going to fall apart. Your tire's going to go flat. Your car's going to have problems. Your wife's going to need a haircut. I mean, it's going to be, your world is going to go down. Your dog's going to need shots. You're going to get a bill that you didn't know had to happen. Your kids are going to break something, need something, or whatever. Your world is going to fall apart. And the devil's going to tell you, you can't tithe next week. So next week you come and you give the Lord and bring the Lord his tithe. You know what's going to happen then? Your world's going to fall apart. Just hang with me, we're okay. Your world's going to fall apart. You know what's going to happen on week number 3? Your world is going to fall apart. You know what's going to happen on week number 4? You're going to be at the end of your money and there's still month. Have you ever been there? I'm at the end of my money, but there's still month. And the devil's going to say, you sure could use that extra $50, like that goes a long way. Well, you sure could use that extra little bit, so maybe not. You did it 3, don't do it now. And you're going to say, no, I made a challenge, and so I'm going to go ahead and tithe. And you know what's going to happen? Your world is going to fall apart. Be honest. Just because I tithe doesn't mean I don't have problems. Just because I tithe doesn't mean I don't go through that I have millions of dollars or I don't have financial trouble. Man, our lives, we have difficulty. But what tithing does there is when my world falls apart, God's there to bless me. God's there to hold me. And God's there to say, don't worry, Tom, you brought my tithe and I know it and I remember you and I'm opening that window of heaven, Tom, and I'm going to bless you. And so what happens is I get to the end of the month and I look back and I think, dear God, how in the world did we pay for everything? How are my lights still on? How is there gas? How did I make it? Oh, yeah, I tithed. And you took care of me, God. Listen for your preacher. You're killing yourself. You're hurting yourself by not bringing God his tithe. Shall we pray?